This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, Commodores, this is Abby Woods, and welcome back to your Q&A with the Dean. Hey, Dean Grisolfi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
That's awesome. So I've been, you know, getting back into the groove of things, beginning to study for some more midterms. If I have like a third midterm in some of these, I don't know why they call them midterms. They are not the middle of the term.
I know, it cracks me up.
It's just the thing, I guess. Well, I've been studying for some tests and I've noticed my screen time on my phone has not been ideal. And so I've been debating if I should delete a lot of my social medias. So like TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat are really taking up most of my screen time. And I'm like, man, if I spent that much time studying, my life would be great. So just like as a first question, what do you think about social media? Do you think that more kids are getting addicted to it? And then do you have social media?
So social media is a hot button topic. So, you know, I actually often talk to parents about using technology and like supporting your children and using technology. And I am generally not in favor of banning things with kids. Mm-hmm. Like I want parental controls with respect to time, but I'd actually rather put my kid in a public space and have conversations about things about right. like, why is that a problem? Why should you not be doing that? So I'm not usually a banner. Except for social media. And so I do have social media accounts, although I know that I don't use them, you know, the way that like someone 20 years younger than me might use them, but,
maybe that's okay.
Yeah, no. So I do have Facebook and I have lots of Facebook friends. Cause you know, like in my generation, we still use Facebook. I yes. also love Instagram because, yes, I get pictures of my friends, but also cause I'm a knitter and it's a great, great place to see beautiful, beautiful textile art. So, you know, I think that social media, it has like some amazing advantages and some real disadvantages. Mm-hmm. So, and I think age matters.
Right.
So like as you know, my oldest is 12. Mm-hmm. So he's going into seventh grade and he does have his own phone. He does not have any social media and he will not have any social media for quite some time. And, right. you know, it's a hill I will die on with him. And we've already started talking about it because the research on adolescents and social media is pretty clear that we have, you know, much higher rates of depression and anxiety than ever before. We have higher rates of youth suicide than ever before. And it seems pretty clearly linked to social media, online bullying, and just the general like constant barrage of other people's best selves, mm-hmm. especially at a time in adolescence, and this is normal, where you don't feel your best self, right? So adolescence is a really tricky time. Your brain is changing really rapidly. Your body is changing really rapidly. Those things are often out of sync. Mm-hmm. That's true for anyone. When you combine that with, you know, all these senses of like what is possible and what could be and like, but what in fact you are unlikely to be, it's just a quagmire. And plus bullying, right?
Right.
You know, how terrible, I assume that we've all had moments where we found out that we've been excluded from yes. something. And I certainly had those moments in middle school and high school and they were terrible, mm-hmm. but I've thought a lot about how there were probably a lot more moments that I didn't know about.
Right.
But social media makes that way less likely to happen, right? So you're much more likely to find out that something has happened that you weren't a part of.
Exactly.
So for adolescents, and you know, like the word adolescence is kind of a technical term. It actually extends through into your 20s. So I'm not talking about that. I mean, when you are in middle school and high school, especially your first years in high school, I really think that it's not a great idea for mm-hmm. people to have social media accounts. I think as you get older and you're able to put things into perspective and you're able to bring a critique of the genre, then I think we're in a space where we can start to think about, how am I using social media? What is it useful for? And just like you said, is it time to take a pause?
Exactly.
So I routinely delete Instagram from my phone. Facebook doesn't suck me in quite the same ways. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it's like addictive, and Instagram, you can like just
scroll forever.
Yeah. And similarly, I think this is a terrible use of my time. Like five minutes is fine. Mm-hmm. I do save a lot of like really appealing sounding recipes, but really like if I am on Instagram for more than 5 minutes, that is a terrible use of my time. And just like anyone else, it's like, it's designed to suck you in.
Exactly.
And so, I do delete it pretty regularly and then put it back on and, you know, on and off. But for me, I think, I especially delete it in like two things I try to pay attention to. One is when I find myself kind of down in the dumps. Mm-hmm. And for me, most of the time when I'm upset about something, it's because I've gotten sucked into the trap of comparing myself to someone else, or some sense of like comparing myself to some sense of what I ought to be, right? Which is influenced sort of subtly by watching what other people do. And so academics use social media. I see everybody's awards and everybody's new papers and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, when I notice I'm sort of like low level, kind of depressed, and there isn't actually a clear reason, mm-hmm. like, oh, I think I'm paying a little bit too much to other attention to other people. And then the other time I delete it is actually if I have a lot of work to do, because I'm a terrible procrastinator and I have a really hard time focusing. And so I know that I have to take away all of the attractive, flashy objects if I really need to get something done.
Yeah, I actually, so the reason I was thinking about deleting some of these apps was because during finals of first semester, I deleted TikTok and I got so much more studying done. And I think it's the act of like sitting down and you're like, oh, I'll only do it for 5 minutes. And because you scroll, like each video only feels like it's 2 seconds long. Before you know it, you've been on it for an hour. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely can like relate to just, you know, feeling down and not really knowing why, but I didn't really think about attributing it to social media. So I will take note of that. And just curious, what do you think of Be Real?
So I don't use Be Real, and I only just learned about it this year. And I get really charmed by Be Real when people ask me to be part of their Be Reels, right? And so, like, I think that's really cute. But I don't actually know very much about it.
So it actually, you're not very late to the game, because Be Real, at least me, I only knew about it this year. So it's like, I think it's decently new.
Okay, good. Because sometimes things can be around for like 5 years before you hear about them.
Right. But I really like it because it'll send you a notification just saying you have 2 minutes to take it. And then you aren't allowed any filters or anything. You're not allowed to touch any photos up or anything. And it will tell people how many times you retook it. So if you have a really pretty selfie or something, but it took you 15 tries, the app will show that.
Oh, and so that's interesting.
It just makes you think a little bit more. And so when I first heard of it, I was like, this is awesome. But turns out you can kind of, you'll get the notification and like, yeah, technically you have 2 minutes to be on time, but you can take it like an hour late or 2 hours late or like a day late and it'll still pop up. And so now I'm just like, well, that's kind of fake, like be fake, you know, because mm-hmm. the Be Real notification will go off and I'm like, oh, everyone take it. And they're like, no, I'm going to wait till I do this really cool thing tonight. I'm like, well, that defeats the purpose.
Right. Actually, in some ways that's worse, because you could be like operating under the falsehood that this is what everyone's doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if you take it on time and you're just sitting in your room studying and then you scroll through Be Real and people took it a couple hours later, you'll see them at a party and like, man, why am I so lame? You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I had no idea. Okay, yeah, I agree. That's not great.
So it's very, I'm just thinking about getting rid of all of them, to be honest. And I actually I'm an intern for a nonprofit based on social media. And the thing that we think is like very compelling is that kids before social media, if they were getting bullied at school, they would go home and for the most part, it was done. But if you're getting bullied at school, especially cyberbullied, you go home, that world is still with you. It's in your pocket. It's on your phone or on your computer. So you never leave that realm until you completely unplug from social media. So that's kind of a part of the message that we spread.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, all the more reason, I think that we really need to be paying close attention to the way that young people are using devices and having access to devices. It turns out that 37% of teenagers are on social media more than 8 hours a day.
I think I might fall under that 37% right now.
And that's a lot of time to be on social media. And it's not just about studying. It's also about like a break from other people's voices, right? Like, how do you listen for your own voice if you're constantly being barraged?
Or just going outside.
Or going outside. Also like, that.
I will sometimes get off my phone and I'll walk to Commons to go eat something. I'm like, wow, it's so nice outside.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Well, all you people out there, this is your sign to unplug this week, and you better get your work done and go outside and see some new people. So thank you, Dean Grisalpi, for talking with me about social media. So, and thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's Q&A with the Dean. Stay tuned for our next episode. This is Abby signing off.
What's up, Commodores? I'm Linda Hsu, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar, where I bring you all up to speed with on-campus happenings. To start off, on Friday, April 7th, from 12 to 4 p.m., Vanderbilt Women in Business is hosting the Nashville Makers Market on Alumni Lawn. Makers Market is a pop-up event empowering female-owned businesses. They help female creators and entrepreneurs across various industries and walks of life showcase their talents. Each vendor at the event has pledged to donate at least 10% of their proceeds to support Thistle Farms, community partner who supports female survivors of trafficking, prostitution, and addiction by providing them housing and financial aid. Also on Friday, the Vanderbilt University Chinese Drama is having a tea house theme and tea ceremony drama night at Buttrick Room 101 from 4:30 to 7 p.m. They are holding a traditional Chinese tea ceremony performance on theme with a modern drama tea house. Participants can wear traditional Chinese costumes and experience the Chinese tea ceremony while learning more about the Chinese Drama Club. The African Student Union is collaborating with other campus organizations to put on Harambe at Langford Auditorium on Saturday, April 8th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. This showcase celebrates the diversity of the African diaspora and hopes to educate on the experiences, hardships, culture, and traditions of the African community on Vanderbilt's campus. Finally, on Tuesday, April 11th is the Spring 2023 Vanderbilt Undergraduate Research Fair. Come to the Student Life Center Ballroom from 3 to 6 p.m. to check out the cool research Vandy undergrads are participating in. The fair provides an amazing opportunity for undergraduates to share their work with their peers, so be sure to go check it out. And that's all for this week's Commons Calendar. Be sure to check the anchor link for more information on dates and events. Thank you all so much for listening. Now on to the Humans of the Commons segment.
Hey everyone, it's Abby, back with your Humans of the Commons interview. Today, we're flipping the roles and I will be interviewing Eigen. For those of you who don't already know, Eigen is an HOD and CS major from Birmingham, Alabama, living in Crawford House. Hey Eigen, how are you doing today?
I'm good, how are you, Abby?
Pretty good. I'm very excited for this, switching the roles. Now you're in the hot seat.
I know, I was like about to sit down where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And Jim was like, no.
Yes.
Sit in the other seat. I was like, ooh.
Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm just interested because I'm not the one controlling this. You are.
Yep. So I'm very excited to have you here because I think that, you know, we listen to your voice every day and we listen to you interviewing other people. But I want to know more about you. So my first question to you is, why do you like interviewing everybody every day? I mean, like, I hear your voice almost every week on these podcasts. Why do you like this specific thing of just interviewing people?
Well, first of all, I would like to clarify that I don't like the way my voice sounds in recordings. Oh. I feel like everyone does not like listening back to themselves in a recording. I'm like,
oh yeah,
that's disgusting. I could do better. Why did I say it like that?
Yep.
So it's definitely not that. I just feel like if I sit down in studio, just talk it out, I feel like that's what my creative process was in high school, because I used to take like AP Lit, AP Lang, and I really enjoyed those classes. Like those were the ones that I did well in because I was very interested in that. And I would just always, like, my best friends were in the same class. So whenever we would have a subject or like a project, we would always talk it through. Like an essay was never just a first draft, your teacher reviews it, and then you do the final draft and it's done. Like it's a constant process of like, oh, calling my friend at like midnight and then us like playing Among Us or like talking about random stuff and then pivoting back to the essay and like making those little tweaks and then like just having that cycle of like the creative process. But I think mostly it was because I was in like, I had an extended quarantine like compared to everyone else because I took a gap year. So like COVID hit during my junior year. Mm-hmm. And so I lost half of my junior year, mm-hmm. all of my senior year, and then I had to take a gap year in a completely different country. So as pathetic as it sounds, the only media that I consumed in that time, because I wasn't talking to anyone, like I kind of fell apart from my friends. Like it was just my family in the house and we all kind of hated each other after a time.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just me going on YouTube. I talked about this in my media intensive application, actually.
Right.
I only watched reaction videos because they would always like, I don't know. It's just like, it was someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And someone to kind of be there as I'm watching and not just being alone. And so from that, I was kind of like, like it kind of helped me find my voice. Cause if you're in a room with someone and you're forced to immediately to respond to what they're saying, then I don't think you've like deliberated enough for like, it's not what you really think if you really thought about it, you know?
Yeah.
So having that kind of silence and that space to just like take in opinions, information, and then kind of not do anything about it, just sit on it, mm-hmm. and then be really, really like enthusiastic to share to whoever's listening. I think that's what led to me like being curious and wanting to talk about stuff and just pulling that energy out of people.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And I think I watch a lot of podcasts too. And I did that over my quarantine because I also just was getting tired of everybody in the house and it was just a lot. So I would listen to podcasts. And one of them actually brought up, I think it was called like a parasocial relationship where you see them on your computer screen or you've been watching them for years and years or listening to them. And even though you've never really talked, you still feel like you're friends a little bit in a way. And so it is a little bit of a relationship thing and it's totally normal. And so, yeah, I hope that one day like we can create media that's like so big that people will have that relationship with us. And so
I think it's
really special. So.
So cool.
Yeah. Well, as sad as it is, we're about to be finished with our first year.
Oh, and I thought you were going to say our interview and I was like,
oh no,
that was just one question.
No, I'm keeping you here. I'm enjoying this. No, we're about to finish our second semester of our first year. And so, sorry to all my listeners, but that does mean that a new cast of people will be coming and will be going. So, but I want to keep listening to you. I want to keep hearing more of these interviews. So I want to know where you'll be going next. Do you have any plans for more podcasts or what are we going to see next from Eigen?
I think everything that I've planned next, at least in the immediate future, has something to do with what I'm already doing now. Mm-hmm. So I have a podcast with a hustler called Door Diaries and it's just a team of me and two other girls. And I feel like if we got an expanded team or like got really involved and had more resources next year, we could make it into something bigger.
Yeah.
Because it's literally just like them interviewing people, me coming in every week, doing the weekly digest. And it's just like a very simplistic process. But I feel like if we could like up the production a little or make it a little bit more fun. I think I don't do well with like jumping into new things and then going immediately like skyrocketing in like engagement and like, actually, wait, let me stop. Sometimes I get carried away, but
I get that.
I like building on what I already have. So I'm not looking to like pursue anything radically different. Mm-hmm. I also have like a radio show with Vandy Radio.
Do you want to plug that one?
Yeah, let's talk about it. It's called What Are We Watching Again? Where I literally don't even know what we're watching or talking about, but
amazing.
It's with my friend Joel and we come in every Monday this semester, but it might change, but maybe we can turn into something bigger.
Yeah.
It's always trying to make what I have into something a little bit more special, a little bit more, I don't know, better.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And I'm excited to listen to them. So we have the Door Diaries. Is that what it is?
Door Diaries and What Are We Watching?
And What Are We Watching? Okay. So all my listeners, you guys better be looking it up. Is it available on like Apple Podcasts and Spotify?
Door Diaries is only available on Spotify. That's one of the things that we have to work on. But What Are We Watching Again? Does it not even have a Spotify?
It's okay. We're going to build it.
You're going to have to listen to it live, but we are working on putting out podcasts because we record it in the studio. But other than my commons life, I don't know.
For sure. Well, you guys better look at it on Spotify then. And then also you'll just hear everybody's voices on just Vandy Radio. So that'll be fun. Okay. And I know you're just in general, just from knowing you, interested in the media industry as a whole.
Mm.
So just, I want you to talk a little bit about that. Like, what got you interested in it? And then, like, are you doing any, like, fun things over the summer with it?
Don't ask me that question before my interview. You're jinxing me.
Oh, no. No, this is gonna manifest it for
okay,
you.
Okay, we're manifesting, not jinxing.
Yes.
That's such a reframing.
Yep.
Everyone take notes.
You don't think about jinxing. You're manifesting something. Sorry. Yes.
Okay, so I got into media because just like every other basic person on the planet, I watched TV shows and songs and movies, and I don't know. Initially, I was like, wow, like that would be a really cool job. Like, I've always been a creative person. Like, what if I was the one doing that? But the more I consume media, the more that I realize that I don't think that's my role to play in that whole industry. Like, I need to recognize my limitations, and my limitations, I don't know. I'm not cut off for acting. I'm not cut off for professional dancing or singing. Like, I lack the technical skills that everyone kind of needs to get there, nor do I want to devote a lot of my time there. So I was just thinking about how I can integrate my life path into that industry. So as you mentioned, I am an HOD major and a CS major. So I don't know. I'm more interested in like, ooh, there was this one internship opportunity through the program that we were both trying to apply to, Benny in Hollywood. And it's like about the music industry, like music talent management specifically. And they were talking about metadata and how you construct virtual psychological profiles of people. And it's basically like this whole web of interconnected, like what content do you interact with? And if you share similarities with this one person, that'll also draw like a line between them or like a connection between them. And it's just like this very complex, rich system that allows us to like see very targeted personal emotional attacks on TikTok, or like, I don't know, just like fine tune my Pinterest feed. Like, I love cats, and now all I get is like cats on my Pinterest feed. So it's just a really interesting, like, I don't know. I feel like most people don't think about that aspect of our media consumption, but it's definitely like something that's been weighing on my mind ever since I watched Social Dilemma, if you know that documentary on Netflix. I was like, I cried during that documentary.
Really?
That part about the whale. Not the whale, but like towards the end where they were like, if you're not buying a product, then you are the product, or something along those lines. Gosh. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it's a little scary sometimes.
Yeah, so I think just by that whole recognition that the gravity of this work is undersold to people, because they think it's just, oh, media. But media influences a lot of what we do and say or think. So I think if you're willing to like recognize that and see that and then harness it or like be a part of that process, then you're more influential than the average person.
Exactly. That's awesome. And I agree. People don't really realize how much work goes into the behind of the scenes. Like even when you're scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or something, it's just, it's insane. And actually, I had to change my algorithm for a while because, it was very much like, you know, college related. Like, here's the top five best ways to get into your dream school. And like, I'm in college now.
Yeah, we're in college now.
And I still sometimes get those up on my feed, and I'll still watch them. I'll be like, oh, man, how do I get into my best college when I'm at Vanderbilt?
The only reason why I knew it was Ivy Day like yesterday was because I had those videos on my feed.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, like T minus X days until my Brown decision. I was like, okay.
Did you see the Brown girl?
Yes. Did she got in?
No, she got rejected. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, there was a girl on TikTok who was applying to Brown and publicizing it pretty fiercely. And she woke up at like, I think it was like midnight when the time changed to the next day. And she's like, I will stay up until they release these decisions. And like thousands of people were watching it, and she ended up not getting in. So that one actually hurt me.
Yeah.
More than it probably hurt crazy. Her. And like, I'm in college, but I still get into it. And I heard that regular decision came out for Vanderbilt recently, and someone said that, and we were in a meeting, and I just got caught off guard, and my anxiety went up. I was like, oh man, did I get in? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, my door for a day, like, sent me a screenshot saying he got in, and I was like, yeah, you were there.
Yes.
We were both congratulated him.
It's so nice. That's why I like this community, man. Like, everybody has such a great, like, everyone's so happy when everybody gets in.
For sure.
So.
I think it's like the community behind it through like the trauma bonding. Cause
yes.
I don't know about your class, but during my class for admission cycles, I was on Reddit a lot. As some people, yeah. I'm reformed now, guys. I uninstalled Reddit and
Redditor.
Discord. No. But anyways, A2, what was it? A2C? That's so triggering. Yep. A2C. There's this guy, it was like Dartmouth guy, and everyone was like rooting for him to go to Dartmouth. So I think it's just interesting to see how that same phenomenon is still happening with Brown Girl, you know?
Yes. And for Brown Girl, we mean Brown University. Like the Ivy.
Yes.
That could be a little unclear.
Yes.
Well. Thanks for talking with me. I hope you guys were able to learn a little bit more about your lovely host, Eigen, for the 1 second that he's not hosting. So thank you guys so much for listening. Once again, my name's Abby, and we'll see you next time.
CommonsCast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.